Morning all. That was fairly dramatic reading. Let's pray before we get before we move on. Heavenly Father, I pray simply this morning that my words are your words, and they're the words for building up this place, this family, this church. In Jesus' name, amen. When Jo came home and told me that, and you know the word told me that she and I were doing the all-age service, and told me that we were doing Dead in Sardis, my heart slightly sunk. And I don't know about you men, but just to set a little context, some years ago, I sent Jo a Mother's Day card, and it read like this. A Mother's Day card. They read like this. She doesn't know what's coming. I can hear she's nervous over there. A mother knows all about children. She knows about romances, about best friends, about favorite foods, secret fears, hopes, and dreams. A father is vaguely aware of some short people living in the house. And that just about sums the pair of us up in our approach to all-age services. I'm like filled with dread, thinking, what do you do with the short people? But there we go. Short people, including Pauline. Short people. So, there's a recurrent theme here. So anyway, here we go. Dead in Sardis is our passage. Context. We've been doing this series of talks about the letters to the churches, the seven churches. This is the fifth of those letters. Joe's talked a little about Sardis, but first of all, what you'll recognize in each of these passages is at the start of the passage is a clue as to what the context and what the message within the passage is about. And the clue starts, Mike, do you think you can get verse 1 up for me, please? The clue starts in the qualities that it explains of God. Now, in this case, the letter starts, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits, and flip on, Mike, and the seven stars. Now, what that means, what the essence of that is, this is a letter about the work of the Holy Spirit. So before we go further down into the letter, we know the whole context of this is about the Holy Spirit. And the seven stars are effectively the angels that watch over each of these churches. So that gives us a clue when we get into the passage. Now, what about Sardis? I always wanted to do this. Hey, how about that? Sorry for those who can't see me. So Sardis is this. Sardis is the church that stands in a tower. Sardis is invulnerable. It speaks, it stands there and it's arrogant and it's slightly cocky. It's done some amazing things. If you look at this passage, it's done some amazing things in its history. And it still does amazing things now. But it does amazing things from up here. It says, because I'm here, everything's okay. But God issues Sardis with a warning. I don't know about you, but I'm really rubbish at warnings. When I was young, my parents used to warn me when I was about 17. Terry, when you go out with your mates and you go to the pub on a Friday, be sure not to drink more than 2, maximum 3 pints. Anyone in my generation would have probably had a very similar warning. I would obviously heed that warning until the door closed behind me on the way out of the house. And I'd go into the pub and drink as many pints as my pockets would allow me to drink. And then walk back into the house later in the evening. Tell them I only had 3 pints. But they'd know straight away, because what happens, anyone who knows me well will realize or will remember, that when I have lots of pints, my lips don't work properly. So I'd walk back in and say, you know something, I only had 3 pints for that. And then just walk straight to bed and think in the morning, yep, got away with it again. Realizing full well, now, I didn't get away with it at all. But then that warning came to bite me in the bum. Because on my 19th birthday, the invulnerable and arrogant Terry Whittaker, I was then, and probably still am slightly now, but that person went out on his birthday and ended up in hospital having a stomach pump. Because I didn't heed the warning, what happened to me was I drank until effectively I was about to poison myself and was close to dying. So warnings are an important thing, and warnings we should put ourselves to one side, because we generally think when we hear a warning, and this may be a generalization, okay, I'm going to get that and I'm going to put it through my own filter. But when you receive a warning from God, then maybe you shouldn't apply your own filter to it. You just take the warning at face value as to what it says. And the warning for Sardis, I think it's 2, Mike, verse 2. The warning for Sardis says, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, because I've not found your deeds complete in the sight of God. Now for a church, that's a fairly uncomfortable message. For God to be saying to you, to be looking at you, to look at us, to look at the church in Sardis and be saying, wake up. Wake up what's left, because it's about to die. Now the people in Sardis were doing good things. It wasn't as if the people in Sardis were wicked. It wasn't as if the people in Sardis were, you know, were poor or not trying. But God was still saying to them, wake up. Your deeds are not complete in the sight of God. Now when we hear a warning like that, when I hear a warning like that, my natural reaction is, my reaction is to go on the offensive. Oh yes, they are. Don't tell me my deeds are not complete, because I try really hard and I put in all this effort and I'm doing more than this person. My deeds are fine. Your deeds are no good, but mine are fine. Now there's the human part of me. But the reality is that God saw deep into the church in Sardis and says, that's not right. You've got to listen. Because if you don't listen, you're like those endangered species. And later on in the passage, he says, if you don't listen, I'll come like a thief in the night and take it all away. He doesn't say, if you don't listen, I'm going to come and wipe you all out. He's not going to come in the room with a machine gun and lay us all dead. But what he is going to do is, one by one, we'll just die. And then before you realize it, there's no church. Now, what's this warning all about then? What is it about these deeds that are so wrong? Can you move on again, Mike? The reality of what he's saying to them in real terms is that their deeds are men's deeds, but they're not God's deeds. That they're working well in their own power. That they're looked at and people say, that's a church, it's fine. But these people are doing things in their own power and not in the power of the Spirit. These people have forgotten what it is to be vulnerable and say, okay, God, whatever it takes. These people have said, it's okay, we've been doing this for years, we know what to do. And anyone who's been a Christian for any period of time will know that feeling. It's okay, we've tried that before, we're not going to do that again, we're doing this and it's fine, it always works well. But what he's saying to the church in Sardis and to the people in the church is, look guys, you've forgotten what it is. You've forgotten what sets us apart. And what sets us apart is the fact that each of us, when we come to faith, receive the Holy Spirit. Now for some, the Holy Spirit is well known. It's a well-known friend. And for others, the Holy Spirit is something which is mysterious and I don't really know what it means. The Holy Spirit is God and lives inside each one of us. When Jesus was crucified and went to heaven, before he returns again, he sent the Spirit so we could carry on doing the things of God in all of God's power. He doesn't say this is the power reflection of me. He says this is the reality of me. I am God and I'm going to place God right inside each one of you. And what most of us then do is take the Spirit inside us when we come to faith and get busy. And his message to the church in Sardis is, forget about being busy. Take the cover off the Spirit inside of you and see where that takes you. Now you can say, well, what proof have you got, Terry? Why should I do that? We're happy as church being busy. And my answer to that is, I don't know. But if you look around us, it doesn't seem to be working that well without the Spirit, does it? And we're in a world that's that's closing down day by day as we become more us and less us. It's about me, it's not about us. And the Holy Spirit is the complete opposite. It's about every one of us. It's about the fundamental of love. So I ask the question, really, well, why do we not do this? Maybe we just got out of practice. So there's the first challenge. There's another challenge. But before we do that challenge, I need some help. Now, ladies, hands up if you like Prosecco. Kelvin, you're not a lady. Put your hand down. Now, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Okay. Keep your hands up if you like Prosecco and chocolate. No, not just one. No. We'll have the two of them. Okay. That's great. Now, I'm going to... Lucy and Ruth, can I borrow you a second? Thank you. Right, here goes, come. Now, if you just want to take a seat on the front row for a second, that'd be fine. Sorry, it's not horrible. I promise you, it won't be horrible. Now, I need two younger volunteers as well. So, as far as younger volunteers, I need to see hands up who likes chocolate. And hands up who likes chocolate and lemonade. Okay. Come on, Mia. And... Oh, Phoebe. Come on, Phoebs. Okay, do you want to go and sit down? So we've got a little ladies' rank at the front here. Now, you're going to need to talk amongst yourselves for about a minute while I go and do things around the back here. Okay, won't be long. Okay, I'm coming back with my tray. There we go. Right then, Ruth and Lucy first. Come stand here. Come stand here. Okay. So what I've got is I've got four glasses of sparkling white fluid. And I want you to try them. They're both sparkling wines. I just need you to tell me which one is Prosecco.
I put my hand up for chocolate, not Prosecco.
Oh. Okay. Lucy just said, I don't drink Prosecco. I only put my hand up for chocolate. Helen does. Come on, Helen. Okay, you take those two, and you can just... Look at Ruth, she's proper. She smells them as well. Okay. Okay, so you know what the brief is? Tell me which one is Prosecco and which one is not Prosecco. Have another go. Have another go, both. There's a moral to the story, but anyway.
Might both be, but just two different ones.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Okay. So the answer is... Yeah. The answer is this one is Prosecco. This one is Lembrini. 6 pounds a bottle, £1.29. There we go. Thank you, Helen. Now then, chocolate. You'd have to allow me to put a piece of chocolate in your mouth because they've got stuff written on them, otherwise you'd see what they are. Okay. So, chocolate one or chocolate two is the real thing? Chocolate one. They both say milk chocolate on the wrapper. Keep going. I'm not sure Helen likes this one. Okay, and chocolate two. There we go. Right then. They have both successfully identified the Cadburys over the Hershey's. So, thank you very much. That's it for the minute. Okay, and ladies. Come on, small ladies. You're not allowed. You're not allowed too much chocolate. Is that okay if we just give a little piece? That's fine, Phoebes. I'll only give you a tiny piece. Right then. First of all, ladies. One's a really, really, really cheap lemonade, and the other one's a not really cheap lemonade. Just tell me which one is the not cheap lemonade. What do you reckon, Thieves? Yeah, that's the cheap one. They're both spot on. This is, in fact, the cheap one. Well done, ladies. And finally, the chocolate test. Let's see if we can get 100% on the chocolate test. A small piece for you, Phoebes. I'll break this in half, Claire. Okay. Okay. There's one. No, don't look at it. Don't look at it. Just put it in your mouth. Okay, that's the first one. And this chocolate is making a jiggle. There we go. This one makes a jiggle more. So the first or the second one, which one do we prefer? The second. What do you reckon, Princess Phoebes? Don't know. Okay. Fair answer. Let's give these guys a round of applause. Okay, let's get back to our passage. What's that all about? Why should we be spirit-filled when we're doing good things? The reality is that the world can tell the difference. When the church hears criticism, and that criticism is the church isn't being authentic, or the church is full of hypocrites, this is what this is all about. There's nothing wrong with either chocolate, and there's nothing wrong with either wine. There's nothing wrong with good, because actually when you encounter good, it changes your life. But when you encounter God, it changes your eternity. Not just your eternity, it changes the eternity of the people that you encounter. That's why we need to work in the Spirit. We can be a church full of good, but if we're a church full of good, we'll become a church like Sardis, where we all work really hard and we all are proud to walk out of here and be associated with the church, but we will die. That's not me telling you, that's God telling you. So our challenge is to be a church full of God. Now the great thing about this passage is that it gives us the route back. I'm in that camp that spends too much time doing good, not enough time doing God. And I suspect there might be a few others around here. But it does give us a route back. And the route back comes in the passage. It comes at verse 3. So we go back to 3, Mike? Do you want to roll it forward? There we are. No, back. Remember. So this is our route back. Remember, therefore, what you've received and heard, obey it and repent. So no matter where you are, the route back to being spirit-filled and being obedient is to remember what it is that we received and heard. Now, what is it we received and heard? In John 7, 38 and 39, just prior to Jesus' death, he talks about the Holy Spirit. Sorry, Mike, can you bang that passage up quickly? He talks about the Holy Spirit and he's very clear. He says, when I go, This is your gift. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed him were later to receive. We received the Spirit of God at a time when we came to faith. That's the thing that in this passage he refers to, John the writer refers to and says, remember what you received. This is what we received. We received the wholeness of God at the time we came to faith. What did we hear? We heard the Word of God. When we came to faith, we spent time, huge amounts of time, focusing on our Bibles. So I root back. Remember what you received. So remember the Spirit. Remember the Word. Repent. And why would we not repent? Jesus has given us a gift which allows us to do anything. It allows us, each one of us, to do the things that Jesus did. The thing that's missing is our faith and perhaps our fear of failure. And then to obey. There's our route back. It's planned out in this passage. It talks to a church that does great things but has forgotten about the Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that's us. I'm saying that actually each one of us has to weigh that up. Because this church is no more than the number of people that... It's us. This is a church. The church isn't... When this church is empty, it's just a building. It is a church building. It's not a church. So to the church in Ginium, down Canterbury Street, we ask the question, is this you? Is this me? And if it is, this is our way back. Now what we're going to do is, we didn't do confession earlier, but we're going to do confession together now. Because the confession piece, for those that think this is for me, will deal with the repentance piece in this plan. For those that think this isn't me and I'm fine, confession's fine. It's a thing that we do. So we do confession together. Sarah and the gang are then going to play some music for us while we have a little think. During that period, if you're here with your children or you're here with young people, talk to them. If this is for you, then talk to them about what this means. If this isn't for you, then just perhaps pray. Pray for our world. Pray for our country. And pray for our town. And then at some stage, Joe and I will appear at the front here with a couple of bottles of oil. And what we thought it would be good to do is to anoint those that think this is a moment for me to actually step back. This is a moment for me to do just this. To remember what it was we received. Remember what it is that we heard. To say sorry. And to obey. To move forward from this point onwards, Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled so that you can be different. So you can grasp the fullness of all it is that Jesus has for you. But equally importantly, Spirit-filled, so that when we go into the world, we're like Cadbury's and Prosecco. The other things are fine. They will change somebody's life, but they won't change their eternity. And our calling is to change people's eternity. So that's the plan. Mike, let's have the confession up together. Can we say this together? Heavenly Father, we confess to you the wrong things we have done, the wrong things we have said, and the wrong things we have thought. When we are tempted to be unkind, when we are tempted to be selfish and ungrateful, please forgive us and help us to live as you would want us to. In Jesus' name, amen.